Morning. Welcome to the Forest Practices Board Meeting. So, I'd like to start off and have Patricia give us our safety briefing. Where did she go?
She's just turning up the sound.
I was wondering if maybe she knew something we didn't.
Let me head on out. Okay, welcome to the Natural Resources Building, and I'd like to go over the safety briefing with you. In the event of a fire, alarms will sound and flash. In the event of an earthquake, alarms may not sound and flash. Please drop to the floor and cover your head as best as you can, or go under a table. In any evacuation of the building, staff will lead you out the building using the double doors in the front of the room, and then the first door on the left, leading you out towards a grassy area along Jefferson Street. There, DNR employees are trained and equipped to assist you in checking in and responding to any emergencies. At this time, I ask that you silence any noise-making devices you have. Thank you.
So, if we could, let's go around the table. Bill, can you lead off and introduce yourself?
Yes, good morning. My name's Bill Little. I represent the timber workers' unions for the state of Washington.
And my name is Patrick Gaffer. I'm with the Department of Agriculture.
Dave Summers, Snowman, Washington County, and I'm on the Snowman Council.
Paula Sabine, general public member.
I got a short too. Court Stanley, Port Lake, the Tree Farms, general public member.
Stephen Bernath, DNR chair of the board.
Morning, everybody. Tom Laurie, designee for the director of the Department of Ecology.
Morning, Brent Davis, general public member.
Bob Gunther, I represent the small landowners.
Morning, folks. I'm Joe Storer, designee for Fish and Wildlife.
Carmen Smith, R.L. Smith Logging, independent contractor, designee.
Good morning. I'm Dave Herrera, fisheries policy representative for the Skokomish Tribe and a general public member.
And staff members, please.
Trish Anderson, staff to the Forest Practices Board, DNR.
Good morning. Mark Engel, DNR, Forest Practices Assistant Division Manager for Policy and Services.
Phil Ferrister, Senior Counsel, Attorney General's Office.
Chris Hanlon-Meyer, DNR, Forest Practices Division Manager.
Thank you. I want to acknowledge that Heather Balish is not with us today and did not designate anybody else in her absence. And I want to acknowledge that we have a quorum this morning. Aaron, if you would come up, please.
Yes.
So, Aaron, thank you so much for your service to the Forest Practices Board. Well, the nice thing is that you're not leaving us.
Not that you know about.
And there's a plaque in appreciation of your service. Thank you very much for your work. Don't sit too long.
I won't. So our work is always important, often difficult, often a little mind-numbing. And the commitment that these board members make to try and understand it and make well-rationed decisions on behalf of the public is something that I hope everybody takes a minute to appreciate. It's the staff and the board members that make this commitment, and it was my privilege. So thank you all.
So, a few more recognitions. Chris, if you would stand up or wave your hand or something. Chris, not too long after I started, Chris came to me and let me know he was leaving. So he's leaving us for a job over at Ecology, and we wanted to thank him also for his service with the department as division manager of forest practices. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate the support and the opportunity that was given me when I started 2 years ago as the division manager. What Aaron said is true on. This is important work, it's hard work, and yes, it's mind-numbing at times. Just leave it at that. Thank you. I think that the patience and the communication that comes to and from the board members to DNR staff to make sure that we bring you what you're looking for, give you the information that you need to make your decisions, that's working really well, and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
The next person I'd like to recognize is Nancy Sturhan. Nancy, you want to wave or something? So we're recognizing Nancy. She's been, I had the pleasure of hiring her, I think, in 1990. Is that correct?
That's right.
And she came to work for DNR as a soil scientist. And she worked for
17 years
for DNR. And then the last few years, she's been over at the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission, still playing an important role in CMER and in communicating with the tribes. And she has decided to retire. And and I just wanted to acknowledge all the great work she has done, both for the department and the commission and for this board over the years. So thank you very much, Nancy.
Thank you.
One last acknowledgement. Mark Hicks, you want to stand up or wave your hand? So I just want to acknowledge, you'll hear later in the program that we have a new co-chair for CMER. Mark worked very hard as co-chair of CMER for the last 4 years. I just wanted to acknowledge that hard work and the great amount of effort he brought to that. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Since you're acknowledging folks, I just wanted to make sure that I acknowledge the Department of Natural Resources. And I thank you very much for the work that you did on the fire in Lewis County last week. Thank you.
I can't personally take credit for that, but
our department can,
and we have a great work ethic when it comes to the wildfire. Okay, we are moving on to approval of the minutes. Do we have changes that people would like to see? Joe, our board member Store.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I've got four that it was probably because I was speaking in most of these, but I think there could be some clarity added to how that was interpreted, if you would oblige. First is on page 2, on line 35, where it says that I expressed frustration with the adaptive management program. It was actually, it wasn't with the adaptive management program in and of itself, it was with the PACE for stream typing. So I would just like to add the phrase after adaptive management program and the PACE for work on stream typing. I think Patricia probably has that up there. Second suggested change is on page 5, line 30. And I think Patricia has that captured up here too, where it says, and we're evaluated by WDFW concerning any potential risk, removing the words determined, and to pose and following however. So just a clarification there. Third change is on page 6, line 19, removal of the last sentence and a half and replacing with the words you can see up on the screen. The status review should be going out for public review in August. The final report with recommendations will be presented to the Fish and Wildlife Commission in January of 2016. Again, just a clarification. And then the fourth change is just to remove that next paragraph on page 6, line 22. It's confusing to me, and I think it's covered in the change I just made in the paragraph above, so it's a little more concise.
Line 26 and 7.
Line 26 and 27. So I hope it's, I don't want to be rewriting the history, but I'm just trying to provide more clarity.
Okay. Any other members have changes to minutes? I have one on page 4. Line 26, just clarifying on what was said there. Nothing has occurred on the type N issue. That was what we were talking about, was missing in that sentence. So could we, any other members have changes? Okay, can you bring up the draft motion, please? And do I have a motion from one of the members?
Move approval.
One member. Summers, thank you.
So I've known Steve since 1990. 1986, actually. Yes. That's okay, Bob.
A second, please.
Second. Oh, go ahead. Bill.
Board Member Little. Second motion. Any discussion? All say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I wanted to abstain simply because I wasn't there.
Sorry.
Yes.
I should have asked for extensions. Please forgive as I get into this. More formal vote. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Report from the chair. I have several things I wanted to address. First, I wanted to thank the commissioner for designating for this position. I hope that I can serve this board as and meet everybody's expectations. Second, I'd like to acknowledge we're successful. I think one of the things that we can be proud of this year in the legislative session is that all the TFW caucuses came together and agreed to support the adaptive management funding. And we were successful in getting $5.894 million into the adaptive management budget, which Hans will talk about later on. The thing that I wanted to point out is this is going to be general fund state funding, which means it needs to meet 601 requirements, which means that money will be split between fiscal years, and that money has to be spent within the fiscal year it's allotted to. That's going to be a little different approach than we've had recently with the federal funding since the Forest and Fish Report, which was multiple year funding, and also with the Forest and Fish Support Account, which can roll over if we don't spend it all. If we don't spend this money in a timely fashion and for its purposes, we could that money can be reduced as a result of in action. So if we want to pay attention to that, that means that the master seamer schedule is going to have to be on track Policy will have to be attending to things CEMA brings to them, and of course, we'll have to be responsive at regular meetings as well. Third, I'd like to talk a little bit about one of the things I'd like to do this fall. The board has not had any field trips since the budget cuts. And particularly with some of the things that we have been struggling with recently, such as water piping, I felt like we need to do our best to get us out in the woods and actually look at what we're talking about. And so I'm proposing that we have an additional day this fall reserved for a board work session. The proposed day is October 27th. I'm hoping that board members and that we can get together and go out. I've asked board member Stanley to host the board field trip so we can go out on his tree farm and take a look at how water piping is done and all the issues that you'll hear about today from the co-chairs and the adaptive management administrator, to illustrate what we're talking about so that we are all better informed when we're making decisions around this topic. Another topic I wanted to address, some of you may have noticed that the DNR website has changed. And I will say that it has definitely changed for the better, but unfortunately, sometimes when you make changes, things don't always go as well as you'd like them to. We know that some of the links have been broken on the website. We don't always know that those links are broken. So, Patricia, did you happen to, never mind. We will type in the website or the email address.
Yes, I can do that. You have it there too.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Anyway, we would appreciate you letting us know if you can't find something or if there's a link broken that you want us to know about, because sometimes there's a lot of material on the Forest Practices website, and until somebody lets us know, sometimes we don't know that the links have been broken. So we appreciate your patience, but please let us know. There's an email address you can send your concerns to. It's fp_webmaster@dnr.wa.gov. Got it? There we go. So please be aware of that. We hope that the new website will be easier to navigate once it's complete. Today's board agenda changed a little bit. A couple of things I wanted to note. We have traditionally had all the staff reports in the morning. I had discussions with board members leading up to this meeting, and I wanted to, one of the concerns was some of the meeting material that we needed to vote on didn't get to us until in the afternoon. And so I've taken a couple of the action items and put them in the morning and switched the staff reports to the afternoon. So I just wanted to note that in case you hadn't noticed. The other thing I wanted to note is the reason we have two public comment periods during the day is, of course, first thing in the morning, it's good for people to identify concerns they have on issues before the board. I want to note that the second comment period, the reason we have it after lunch, is for those who can't make it to the first comment session in the morning. That was a request that was made some time ago. We've been honoring that request, and we expect others to honor that as well. The other thing I have changed on the agenda, I withdrew any action, suggested action on the Cultural Resources Annual Report. The other thing that was considered when putting the agenda together, the draft compliance monitoring report, as some of the folks around the table might know, is out for review. However, I didn't believe it was quite ready for prime time, so we'll hear about that at the November meeting. And we also normally hear about Clean Water Assurance's update. There were no updates for this meeting, and so we also pushed that off of this agenda. So at this time, I'd like to get us ready for public comment. Nobody has signed up for general public comment today.
Quick with the
fans. Wow. Hey, we're ahead of agenda. That's great. Okay, so the next thing is public comment on Board Manual 16. I have that. Chris Mendoza from the Conservation Caucus.
Good morning, board members, chair, new chair, and congratulations, chair member, for your move from policy to the board. Hopefully I'll give you a new perspective in what you've been doing at policy. I wanted to speak today for the Conservation Caucus. As you may have noticed, many of our members are out of town, summer and on vacation. So I'm going to speak for the Conservation Caucus on Board Manual 16, namely the revisions, as you recall, that were directed by the board on the last meeting by then Chair Aaron for Phase 1. That is the delineation and identification of groundwater recharge areas. As a memory refresher, and as part of that committee for reorganization and looking at scum, grammar, and such, I want to acknowledge the other members that were there, mainly Ted Turner from Lehrhauser and Julie Dew from Rainier, also DNR staff Leslie Lingley and Trevor Contreras, and then of course Mark and Mark Radcliffe and Engel, and Gretchen. It was a great group to work with, and I think for the majority of those revisions, everyone contributed something, and the board manual was revised accordingly. Having said that, there were a handful of changes that were made to the revisions of Phase 1 delineation and identification. The Conservation Caucus field went beyond and did move into the area of content, which we believe the board specifically addressed, not to change any content from the mineral board manual that was standard. There's a copy of the in the board packet of those areas that are highlighted in yellow, and mainly examples of where words like recommended were removed, and phrases like should be were replaced with maybe. And given the issue with public safety, particularly we see the Conservation Caucus sees public safety as a different standard by which to measure, gauge a measurement of risk. And you've heard that before as well. There's risk to public resources can be measured in different ways. As you know, for example, sediment, there's a maximum extent practical to decrease sediment inputs. There's phrases like you measure against background rates. With public safety, we feel that the bar is much higher, that there really is no background rate for public safety. And I think one of the things that the committee has discovered along the way is that there is language in the board manual that is beyond the scope of that committee that directly addresses risk to public safety, which has yet to be defined by the board, or which is clearly a policy, not a board manual committee group. So given that, Conservation Caucus believes that the best approach to the board manual, the interim board manual, is for it to maintain its consistency and precautionary approach to giving guidance to Stevens Gable Slopes. And we look, not to preempt the DNR staff, but we have yet to report this afternoon, but the Conservation Caucus respectfully suggests that the words that were highlighted or stricken be restored to the board manual. And if not, that cannot be done in a timely manner, but that portion be, approval of that portion be postponed until phase two is completed at the November 4th meeting. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Karen Schlosser, WFPA.
Good morning, Chair Bernath and members of the Forest Practices Board. Welcome to Olympia. My name is Karen Terwilliger. I'm the Senior Forester with the Washington Forest Protection Association. Congratulations to the new chair and to the new board. You will have an incredible leader, and I think you will really enjoy working with Stephen in this capacity. I've been working in with him for a long time, and he's been running the policy team, so he's well versed in keeping the cats herded, you just say it that way. And board member Summers, you noticed this morning that Stephen sometimes just didn't remember your name. I've been in a policy where I've been waving my card and he forgot who I was. I'm here to speak today on Board Manual 16, and I have a little bit different response than Chris has brought forward. But first, I'd like to also thank the DNR staff. They did a tremendous job, both in terms of the preparation of the interim manual and also this version of the manual as well. I think it's hard for folks to realize how much work actually goes into the editing and organizing and putting together of all of these things. In addition to that, there was a very good group of experts that went through this board manual line by line over the last 9 months. We met every other week and sometimes twice during those time frames for entire days. And although I was an alternate on the group, I sat there and listened as well and learned a lot about geology and Washington State. And I learned that geologists really like to talk about rocks and soil. And they had a fantastic time just putting together this manual that is going to really help our industry. I'd also like to say that landowners are committed to protecting public resources and public safety. The bar in forest practices is really high when it comes to what impacts forest management can have on landslides. And just keep in mind that the performance objective in the area of forest management, whether it's harvest or construction activities, is not to increase the risk due to forest management for these high-risk areas. And so the bar is incredibly high for that activity. Next thing I'd like to say is that the work done to date is exceptional. The expert panel that was put together the initial draft of the board manual did a great job, but they didn't have a lot of time to do all of the editing and revising. And so what this last 9 months has been about is really taking the product that they put together, reviewing it, revising it, and editing it so that it made sense, so that it was not a rule. One of the issues that the forest industry had with the original interim manual is that we feel that it crossed the line into rulemaking, which is not appropriate for a board manual guidance document. And we also made sure that there was scientific citations for all of the pieces that needed it in the board manual. So this has been the product of the stakeholder discussions. It is a much more readable document. I think that folks, whether they are engineers, foresters, qualified experts, reviewers from agencies or tribes, will find this a much easier document to deal with. The next steps are to look at the runout pieces and also do a test drive of the manual, as Chris indicated. We feel at WFPA that you should approve the work that's been done to date. We do not agree with the Conservation Caucus that the changes that Chris has identified are changes in content. We feel that those changes were made to make the document more readable and to make sure that it did not stray into that area of rulemaking. So with that, I again urge that you go ahead and adopt the revisions that are made to date. The reason why it's so important is that there's a lot of confusion out there about this particular manual, and just in terms of readability and understandability, and that limits its use. And so in limiting its use, it's not providing the kind of protection that you could for public resources or public safety. And we think that that is important in this process. So, thank you.
Thank you. All right, I have Mark and Mark on up. Talk about board manual and explain the recommendations before us. I just want to note that I appreciate Chris thanking all the people that served on the board manual committee. Did Chris miss anybody on that committee?
Yes, but I will get those.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Mark Ratcliffe, UNR.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. I'm Mark Engel. Mark Ratcliffe is going to give the complete presentation, but I'm here in the event that we have a discussion and questions.
So as you know, and may know, part of my duties here at UNR is overseeing the amendments that go into board manual sections. I'm here to ask you today as board members to adopt the amendments to section 16, which is unstable slopes and guidance. As you recall, in May 2014, the board requested UNR to amend section 16 in two phases. The first phase was identification and delineation of groundwater recharge areas. The second phase involved improving on guidance that was already in the manual for delivery assessments and runout. In November, the board requested DNR to complete the second phase by directing DNR to convene a stakeholder group to look at and review the currently revised material. And that was done partly because many commenters and organizations said there wasn't enough time to do so, and they had suggested a stakeholder process. The board also directed DNR to continue development of guidance for estimated delivery potential. The time required to do both the stakeholder review and complete the delivery assessment was not sufficient. And I will be talking about our plans moving forward a little bit later in the presentation. I want to mention that DNR conducted the stakeholder review consistent with how we do all board manuals that have revisions, and that's outlined in WAC 222-1209-090. And that means that DNR formats the group with participants from policy stakeholders, representatives for a given field, experts in a given field, and we revise the manual, incorporate guidance from those who have an interest and those who have an expertise in a given field. And as you know, we put that to all policy representatives. We invite those who would like to participate in that. Some of the suggestions and amendments range from simple sentence structure, a word here, a word there, to help the readability to clarify. Some of the amendments range from the whole organization and combination of parts. Where the reorganization did occur, a careful consideration was taken by DNR staff, not necessarily myself, but Mark and Gretchen, to make sure that the content, the technical content subject matter was still retained. And that we also make sure that the manual, as Karen alluded to, does not overstep its advisory role. My memo mentions some of the reorganization briefly and some of the editorial changes. I want to highlight just a few areas where disagreement occurred and then the decision that DNR made. One caucus believed that relating the technical methods to determine groundwater recharge for glacial landslides with non-glacial landslides exceeded the requirements for a qualified expert's review for rule-identified landforms. We remedied this by separating the technical guidance for groundwater recharge for glacial deep-sea landslides, which is a rule-identified landform, with considerations that groundwater assessments may need to be evaluated when the subsurface water has an influence, to influence that landform. In other areas, we've combined
Part 7.5, original Part 7.5, which was the synthesis with Part 8, which is geotechnical reports, into one part. That was suggested by many participants, and even DNR was behind that proposal. One group member thought that not only the movement of material, but the organization went beyond the board's motion, as Chris mentioned, but also that the tracking of the information was difficult to follow. We determined that the combining did reduce redundancy, and it may clarify what is needed, what is important for the geotech reports, and the synthesis needed for the analysis. And there was disagreement on the term suggested and recommended, and that in some cases must should replace may. We have adjusted the sentences to avoid using recommended or suggested in some cases, and simply just stated the process or the procedure that is needed. We have elected not to use, well, we have elected to use must where there is a rule requirement, such as a geotech report for a rule identified landform class 4 special. However, must cannot be used when requiring a certain tool because that oversteps guidance and that implies a rule requirement. So, DNR staff, as I said, is asking that the board accept the amendments to Section 16 and that you would direct staff to continue finalizing the delivery assessments that we've already started with. We had a meeting last week. We took a brief break to present and get ready for the board meeting. We started last week, and we hope that we can do that in 3 to 4 meetings and be ready for the November meeting. We have also made, DNR and other group members have made a commitment to do a field test. Mark knows more about this, but that was done for the CMZ manual. Went out and really just see, okay, let's see what we've got in guidance. Let's see how this works in the field. Several members and DNR believe that's a good stroke of business.
Mark, and that's a field test regarding what specifically?
So the delivery runout assessments.
Okay. Thank you.
And I want to wrap up by just recognizing those that helped us with this suggestion. The behind the scenes, the meetings, the researching was a huge effort. From the Conservation Caucus, we had Chris Mendoza, Paul Kennard, Kara Whitaker, and Peter Goldman. Paul Kennard was instrumental in helping us formulate the outline for the delivery assessments. Kendra Smith from the counties provided editorial support from the perspective of her permitting agency. Julie Dew, Karen Twilliger, and Ted Turner represented the Landowner Caucus, and Ted and Julie have provided a great review from the perspective from the qualified expert, and Ted helped us look at many of the methods and even the process used in Oregon. DNR geologists Leslie Lingley, Trevor Contreras, and Isabel Hoygaard, thank you, certainly provided the insight from the regulatory side and those reviewing and evaluating unstable slopes and reviewing the geotech reports. And then Craig Graber, and you, Stephen, were on one of those, with us, one of those meetings. Have been with us the whole time, providing great insight and methods used. And I'd like to recognize Gretchen Robinson for her management and tracking of this document. The drafts, the changes, the IT side of it is huge, and I couldn't have done that. And also would like to recognize Patricia, the copy, prettying up is what how I describe it. What you see today is a great work from her. So with that, I'm done. Any questions or comments?
Questions for the board?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I mean, great work here. This really reads so much better. It actually seems like a great textbook, and we ought to copyright it and make some money on the side. Tremendous amount of effort, short period of time, very nicely done. I want to understand this field test a little bit. The chairman asked clarifying question that actually made it more confusing to me. I think so there's, you want to field test this. Is it this sections that we're looking at right now, or is it an aspect of the runout, which is the topic of the next fourth?
It will be an aspect, just like you said, of the runout. We are not completed with that. We've got a great start.
Yeah.
We've got several methods. And we would like to do is take that out. Sometimes it uses a coarse screen where you have a certain slope, a certain confinement. Well, if you take the manual out, if you will, and say, okay, I see this, I see where this says that this would go this far, that has the potential to reach this far. And field test is a good word, just really seeing if what we say makes sense for when someone in the field.
Yeah, you know, that sounds really good. My question really was trying to see if that meant that we might revisit some of the language that's in front of us right now based on that experience.
Certainly. So yeah, that's up for us.
So you could come back.
Can you be more specific about what sections would be revisited as part of the shallow rapid runout discussion?
That's the first. It's, well, where the delivery assessments, what part that will be, where it's at, is still in the works.
So that's in the work to come.
It's what you have in front of you is the existing from long ago, even before phase one.
It's in part six.
Part six,
Right now, it would be a testing in part 6.6. That's where it is at present. The group has identified a number of methods to calculate runout for shallow rapid landslides. This would be going out in the field and deploying this methodology to see how well it would work in the field.
Point of information from the chair. Just so you, the board members know, when the staff came to me in June and said, we're not going to make it. So my question to them is, which part isn't going to make it? And they were very clear it was just going to be the run out piece on Shallow Rapid, that the DC slide stuff was going to be complete with this group. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so based on that, I was going to entertain the staff bringing the manual in its current state and having that one section be left until November. Absolutely, board members.
I know how hard it is to remember people. So, received the Conservation Caucus's letter late yesterday afternoon. There was an attachment with the specific highlights of the language they were concerned about. Was not able to print it out and look at it, but it really caused me to have a flashback to the 1980s. We were, might have been involved with Steve, we were the ambient monitoring steering committee of CMER. In fact, in those days, we spent 2 years on ambient monitoring debating the difference between the definitions of inventory versus monitoring. It was two words, but the point was is that words matter, and I'm a little concerned that if we're so close to having this nailed down and having everybody in agreement, but if we are weakening language, the examples I saw, we weren't taking out prescriptive language, we were taking out emphasis language in many cases, and that emphasis can be important. So I'm kind of left feeling ill-prepared to pass judgment, but also uneasy with moving this forward, given the controversy over we're getting very close to the end, and I hate to push this over the end line and create more conflict. So that's how I'm feeling about this, and I do think words do matter, and we ought to be very cautious about this, and you know, I'm inclined to try to get this sorted out before. That's my situation.
So I should have
Are we potentially discussing, are we trying to ask the staff more questions to clarify that issue, or are we now...
We're in discussion, so...
Well, let's get the board motion up then if we're going to do that.
Chair Burnett.
Yes, Board Member Stanley.
I got left out without a microphone. Is there an opportunity when we test drive this to look at other aspects just for clarity as how it works in the woods on other aspects of it, just so we know there's clarity through the whole thing?
So you're speaking of like a field test for other aspects besides delivery sessions?
Yeah, just test driving and seeing how the implementation works.
I would say that that's a possibility, but time would be, I believe, the main factor.
Yeah, the using the model for the CMZ manual would be actually an office assessment, you know, the remote assessment followed by the field assessment, so that you actually walk your way through all aspects of the guidance. Again, as Mark said, time permitting, that would be a wonderful thing to do. In fact, that what we did in the CMZ manual is we developed a key, and the goal was to try to break it. If we couldn't break it, then we felt we had a pretty good process. That'd be the same thing here. The to address Board Member Summers' concerns, the kind of the distinction here is when we give a variety of methods in order to assist the qualified expert in making a determination over the potential influence on an unstable slope from forest practices activities, when you give a variety of methods, then it's the word may, because depending on the site and the you know, the specifics, one method may work better than another, so it really should not be a shell. But there's a very distinct reason for should to stay in here, and that is in the event that you have class 4 special, where we're implementing 222.10.030, which is the requirement for the qualified expert to prepare a geotechnical report, those aspects of the manual are shoulds. Because when you are in that situation, you have to perform an analysis. So the shoulds remain where the qualified expert has to perform work, and it's may in instances where we give a variety of methods in order to make that evaluation, where you know they can choose the one that best fits the site.
Discussion from board members. Could we, just so that we get in the right mode here, could I ask the board member to move a draft motion so that we can have appropriate discussion?
You're staring at me?
If you're...
Sure. I can make the motion. Thank you. I move the Forest Practice Board approve Board Manual Section 16, Guidelines for Evaluating Potential Unstable Slopes. Furthermore, the board allows staff to make minor editorial changes if necessary prior to distribution. In addition, I move the board direct DNR staff to continue the stakeholder process to complete the board manual revisions specific to assessing delivery potential for shallow rapid landslides by the November 10, 2015 board meeting.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay. Stanley moved, and board member Lori seconded. Thank you. Discussion.
Thank you. Also just wanted to add my acknowledgments to everybody's hard work and the fact that we have got 95% there. So thank you to staff and all of the members of the stakeholder groups that did that. I did want to get to this distinction between should and may. I think it's, and I appreciate the clarification that you just gave in terms of the context. it still seems to me that there are places when, if an expert thinks a certain method in a certain context should be used to get the best result, and that was their original language, and you leave the word should in, it doesn't cross the line to rule. This is my assertion, and we can go there. You know, partially because we're talking about we're still in a board manual, so we're not actually in rule language, and it's the expert's opinion, and it's still there's still an opportunity for someone in the field to decide not to follow that. But the intent of people who thought about this deeply and have the credentials, you know, are strongly suggesting that a certain method should be used in a certain context. And that's my understanding of where there are places of disagreement. And it may seem subtle, but again, when we're talking about public safety, it seems to me that we as a board have an obligation to, you know, think hard about, as board member Summer said, you know, think hard about the implications of the words and the meanings of the words and make sure that we're approving something that has the intent of making sure that this guidance is implemented as intended and that expert guidance is out there. And, you know, one exercise we might go through is finding other board manuals, other sections of board manual that have the word should in there, where it's clearly not rule, but it's suggested that if you're going to properly implement guidance that you should do this. So I think that seems to be something that a little bit more time would allow folks to work out. And so just as one example, I'm just going to throw it out there. It's something that can be talked about. I'm on the top of page 61, you know, in the red line strikeout version, and in the first full paragraph, one sentence down in red, it says, the extent of analysis depends on site-specific geological and hydrological conditions. Such assessments and modeling, and the original language was, should be considered. So, you know, still allowing for flexibility to be considered, but it should be considered. To me, when you put the word may be useful, it really changes the meaning. May be useful is like, yeah, you know, you can do this or you cannot do this, and the experts aren't really, you know, don't have a really strong opinion about it. And to me, the phrase should be considered conveys, you know, if you want to do a good job in this particular situation, you should really consider this. So it's that kind of intent, and I agree with Board Member Summers that if we are so close, you know, can we not allow further discussion to try to resolve these types of issues so everybody's comfortable? And one possibility, I'll just throw this out there, is that we can do something like we did last time, where we approve the board manual for everything that's been agreed on, still call it interim. You know, so Karen Twilliger raised the point that the interim manual prior to all of these changes is less clear. So how about if we approve this, still as interim, and allow discussion of the items that are in disagreement? So we would get like 95% of the way there, all of the clarifications that everybody agreed on would still be in the board manual, but there would be an explicit attempt to try to work through the last little bits of language that are disagreed upon and have that be brought to us in November.
So if I can understand Board Member Sweeney's suggestion, let me see if I can paraphrase this back. Are you suggesting we go ahead and approve the board manual as is, as presented by the staff to the board, and that in the second half of the motion, there's a little bit more leeway to address other things other than shallow rapid landslide runoff?
Yeah, and we can even explicitly state that there's leeway to address items on which there was lack of agreement. And there's, my understanding is there's just a handful of items, and that the leeway would allow changes to those parts that aren't just phase two.
Well, I appreciate
portion of that suggestion. One is that I do want this to move forward today because it is so much better than what we approved a year ago. And so we would like to get this guidance out to the practitioners as soon as possible. My concern, and maybe the staff can address this, is whether they think that additional time on these language issues would actually result in any change to the recommendation to the board.
Well, the small editorial changes that are up here now can be done, I believe, in a few weeks. But what you're speaking to, I believe, would take, if not a good day of stakeholder group, to hash that out. Mm-hmm. My time's probably a little more available than other stakeholders, so I don't know if I have a good answer that can be done, unless we delay approving to a different time.
The microphone.
Oh, sorry. Do you mean to do that all over again?
Mark, let me be more specific. The issue about language around should and may and things such as what Board Member Sweeting pointed out on page 61 of the board manual, as you know, should be considered as opposed to may be useful. Would extra time on these issues change the recommendation to the board from staff?
So we could reinitiate the conversation on the points that people have concerns with. My concern is that when you open it, people tend to want to open it all, and it was a very, very long process to go through. If you could imagine, we actually went through line by line, every line in the manual. It took a very long time. And there was a lot of discussion in the sentences, right down to specific words. So if we could limit the reopening of the manual to be very concise, you know, very specific, it's still going to be, as Mark just said, we probably have to add an additional day or maybe two. But we could have further discussion. Also, with this, I know it probably broke board rules, but we were passed a note, which I guess we'll forgive everybody. On the amendment to the motion, remove shallow rapid and just say run out, because this could also include discussion. Bringing this up is actually kind of qualifiers for the run out in general, so it would be just better to not be specific on shallow rapid, but just say run out, because then what I don't want to happen is that a motion not allow the group the flexibility to do all the work that's needed in order to reach final completed draft manual for the board to consider one last time for to approve. I don't know if that helps or not, but you're hearing me think on the fly.
Any other discussion from board members? Board Member Davies.
Just wanted to add that in reading through this last night, it seemed like there were just a few sections that were being changed that were in dispute. So maybe if we just were very specific that that we're not reopening the whole discussion, but just limited to those highlighted sections that are in disagreement. So it just seemed like even a handful of places since we're not, since we have until November to look at the whole manual anyway.
Mr. Chair, if I may, one thing that to be very aware of is that the board does have quarterly meetings every 3 months. What that means for staff is everything needs to be finished in 2 months, because we do have to, do the final formatting and the grammatical checks, all of that work, plus put together a mailing and get it out in time for the board members to review prior to the meeting. So our window really, really is 2 months. We've already had the first meeting last week. It was a very productive meeting. We have three more plus the potential for a field tour. The stakeholders we work with all have day jobs. So it's really hard when you're calling all day meetings to schedule a lot of them. So I'm being, I guess, somewhat protective of the entire stakeholder group and the fact that they have really put an enormous effort into the manual that we have now. But when we're talking meetings, we're talking full day commitments by the entire stakeholder group.
Formatting their store.
I guess I want to say what others have said and just thank staff for all that effort and the stakeholders who were involved. It is a substantial project, and there's a lot of quality stuff in here. It's disappointing that we, you know, are almost at the finish line and we can't quite get over that. One thing that a number of you have talked to me and taught me about in terms of this process is the importance of consensus. And, you know, we spent the majority of this last year on this issue, and it would be a shame to walk forward without having everybody together on this. This has been like the number one topic that this board's been all about. We're so close that I guess my sense is, and sorry for the additional workload, but my sense is if we've got a couple of spots where we need to hash this out a little bit further, I think it'd be worth the time in the long run to have a product that everybody stands behind.
Well, that is Summers, and then you
know, well, I agree with that, and it seems we're very close, and I would support something that targeted the places of conflict, and they are limited. We just got them last night, frankly, and we don't have a copy of that in our packet, but the example on page 61 is a good example where we're not arguing about prescriptive language, we're arguing about emphasis, and it is important emphasis, and so I would support some sort of way to move forward where we get those addressed, and I'm so close on this. I hate to see it create conflict.
Member Stanley.
First off, is the current board manual creates a lot of confusion in woods, and so I am strongly supporting adopting this today. As part of the test drive that we were talking about, and aside from the Conservation Caucus suggested change in language, WFPA also, as Karen sent out, has some suggested language potential. So it does seem that, I don't know if it could be hammered out in a day, but it seems like there should be a little bit more discussion if you can get the people at the table.
So let me see if I can paraphrase what I'm hearing and then get some agreement on where we want the motion to go. So I'm hearing folks would like the board manual to move forward because it is clarifying as is. I find it hard to for the board to make a motion that says move forward with the what's been recommended by staff, with the exception of, you know, certain highlighted spots in it.
that's sort of difficult. I could agree and think it would be appropriate to and acknowledge that people are concerned about some wording and have staff and stakeholders through the board manual process to continue to work on those words in addition to the runout section that has been identified. But I think we need to adopt, unless someone is going to make specific editorial suggestions, to adopt as it's been presented and then work on the changes for November. Is that what I'm hearing from everybody?
Can we, I just zip through a quick, I noticed it's page 50, 54, 59, 61, and 65 through 69. Can we limit changes to only those yellow highlighted sections so that we don't reopen everything?
Can you list those out again?
50, 54, 59, 61, and 65 through 69. There was a couple at the very beginning that, I mean, that had it one yellow word, but.
Who's that?
That was just a quick.
Who's that list
from? Well, I just zipped through my phone and pulled off page number.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so it was also stuff that we got last night, since we don't have a yellow copy of those. But, that, I mean, and we can. Somebody else has a better copy than them.
Try to get them up.
Yeah, why don't I suggest this? Why don't we break for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and let staff then suggest an amendment to the motion, and then we can get back together. Would that work? Okay. Recess.
Yes. We don't know.